Well, imagine you're a leading firm in an industry where discretion is key, and you find yourself at the heart of a national debate. What to do? Bain Capital, the private equity firm founded by Mitt Romney, has been struggling with that question since Romney's primary rival, Newt Gingrich, released that video called When Mitt Romney Came to Town.
Romney took foreign seed money from Latin America and began a pattern exploiting dozens of American businesses.
They fire people, they cut benefits, they sell assets.
Republicans called him a vulture capitalist. A picture of Romney and Bain partners flinging cash in the air made the rounds. Bain went on the defense, and so did others in the private equity industry. But while other companies are part of a trade association, Bain is going it alone. Why? And why does this matter? Well, our next guest says Google searches for Bain Capital spiked in important swing states last month, so voters seem to be paying attention. So what is true and fair about Bain and private equity firms? We want to spend a few minutes there today with Scott Hellman, co-author of the biography The Real Romney. It's out with a new afterword. He also wrote a big piece recently in the Globe Sunday magazine, where he's a staff writer, about how Bain is trying reluctantly to clean up its name. And Scott joins us from the Globe. Welcome.
Great to be here, Robin.
And just, you know, your piece in the Sunday magazine featured a beautiful brass plate that said Bain with mud dripping off it. How hard has this been for people who were long considered, you know, the kings of investing? You know, the word Bain had a certain reverence.
Well, I think it's a very uncomfortable position for them to be in. I mean, this is still a very private industry that really prizes discretion. And, you know, their job, as they see it, is to go and invest in companies, often struggling ones, and make great returns for their investors. They don't care about politics. They don't want to be in the spotlight. They want to keep their heads down and make money and do their jobs. Yeah. Of course, that's becoming increasingly difficult, given Bain's central role in this campaign. And, you know, the clip that you played from the Gingrich video, it almost sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit. You know, it's so grave and like he's the worst person in the world. And it was full of distortions and it was misleading and all that. But it established clearly that this year we were going to be talking about Bain Capital and whether or not it was a force for good or force for evil.
Well, not just Bain Capital, but as you write, this has been a coming out party for private equity, but not one everyone wanted. Just tick off some of the other firms.
The Carlyle Group and Kohlberg Kravis Roberts, known as KKR, Cerberus, there's Blackstone Group. I mean, there are a number of these big firms. Bain is certainly one of the big boys.
And quickly remind us, Bain Capital is an offshoot of Bain & Company. Mitt Romney was handpicked by Bill Bain to start this private equity offshoot. It now has $65 billion in assets. Tick off a few of the companies they have a stake in some way in.
If you go to a movie at an AMC theater, you know, you buy a Parkette Burlington Coat Factory. If you're getting your morning coffee at Dunkin' Donuts.
Toys R Us, the Weather
Channel. Toys R Us, Guitar Center, Outback Steakhouse. I mean, there are many, many brands that you and I know that are controlled by private equity firms. We just don't know the upper echelons. And typically, we don't care, right? As long as the movie's good and the popcorn tastes okay and, like, the coat doesn't fall apart, you know, we don't
really
care about
it. And the return is good on the investment. I mean, you point out some of the people who've invested include California's retirement program.
Well, that's one of the fascinating political elements of this, that some of the biggest investors in private equity, some of the biggest partners are union pension funds, like the California teachers or the Texas teachers, if you will. University endowments. What's funny is there's a lot of political sensitivity there, and you have some union guys serving on boards. So you would think that the politics wouldn't line up exactly. Well, you know, why are these sort of union guys supporting private equity? But the fact is, when you've got a bunch of teachers or firemen or cops that you're trying to provide retirement benefits to, you need a good return, and private equity has provided that.
Well, and let's take a step back and remind ourselves, what the heck is private equity? We know they invest in startups, but they also take over mature companies. But just give us the brief history capsule. What makes this industry different from other investment firms? When did it start? Is it regulated differently? I mean, what is it?
This is an industry that really started to gain notice, and I would say the 1980s, there were some big blockbuster deals then, and since then it has evolved significantly, but the basic principle is the same. You have a bunch of private capital, a bunch of investment partners, like I said, including sometimes big pension funds, sometimes individuals. They pool their money, and then they go and look for companies that seem like they're ripe for takeover, either ones that are struggling, ones that could be performing better. You know, they like to think that they can go in and turn these places around, and in many cases, they have done that. And a lot of people, I think, don't understand quite how different private equity is from venture capital. They're similar, but they're different. Venture capital, you're really going in with a little bit of money, and you're hoping to grow companies kind of, you know, from the ground floor, right? And this is what Romney and Bain did in their early days. Staples is a deal you always hear about. That was really a venture capital deal.
Right, because they just literally gave them some money and sent them on their way. And then Staples grew in the way that it did. And Mitt Romney's been careful at times to say, I didn't create jobs at Staples. I just helped them in the beginning to create jobs.
Right. I mean, you give them a bunch of money. You think, look, hey, this sounds like a great idea. You know, we think that there's a market for, you know, a company that mass sells paperclips. So that's more venture capital. Private equity is really taking over existing companies and trying to improve them, selling them off later for a profit. And yes, that does involve oftentimes slashing jobs, closing factories to make them more competitive. And I think that's an undeniable part of private equity. The argument that the private equity people say is, look, there are bankruptcies and so forth. There are layoffs, but maybe it would have been worse if we wouldn't have been involved. So you have to sort of think about that when you talk about the negative consequences.
Let's get to some of these perceptions. First, the perception that private equity firms, again, as you said, they have investors who invest, but they don't use that money when they go take over a company. They're more likely to borrow huge amounts of money to take over a struggling company, which in the negative perception begins collapsing under the weight of that debt that's now been put on it, that leveraged buyout of this company. And while the company is collapsing, the equity firm, Bain Capital, collects hefty fees from the collapsing company for managing them into the ground. I mean, that's the negative perception. That's the criticism. Now, people at Bain Capital say, no, we are good people doing good things. Occasionally, when we take over a company and try to streamline it, it doesn't work. But more than likely, we make the company more successful. What's true?
This is a hard question to answer, and the answer is both. I mean, it's a very difficult industry to summarize because there are deals that are much more like the former in your example, where they go into a firm, they load it up with debt, they make sure they get their fees no matter what happens, and then they kind of ride the firm into bankruptcy, right? But hey, they get their money, no big deal. I will say, though, those debt levels are much lower than they used to be. This was something that happened much more in the 80s and 90s, and industry officials say that the debt ratios, without getting too far into the weeds here, you know, are much lower than they used to be. So there's actually more real money invested these days when a private equity firm goes in. There are other occasions when, and Mitt Romney loves to talk about these, where Bain goes in with his expertise and there's a company that's kind of struggling, maybe could be doing better. They retool it and it goes off and it grows and everybody makes money and jobs are grown and so forth. So it's very hard, and we have found this in reporting on Romney, it's very hard to say private equity is this. The fact is it's both.
Well, but as far as the good part, why isn't Bain fighting back more? Well, Scott says, for one thing, it's nice to be under the regulator's radar. That's Scott Hellman. He recently wrote about Bain Capital and founder Mitt Romney for the Boston Globe. We'll link you at hereandnow.org and be back with more in 1 minute, Here and Now. Welcome back to our conversation with Scott Hellman of the Boston Globe, who's written about how Bain Capital, the private equity firm founded by Mitt Romney, is and isn't responding to charges about how it does business. On the campaign trail, Mitt Romney says Bain was a jobs creator. Republican primary challengers like Newt Gingrich and, of course, Democratic opponents say it's a jobs destroyer. As we just heard from Scott, private equity firms do both, although he says they don't burden companies they take over with as much debt as they used to. And Scott, you cite the work of Josh Kosman, I think it is, who wrote the 2009 book, The Buyout of America, How Private Equity Will Cause the Next Great Credit Crisis. So obviously he's a critic of private equity. But he says companies like Bain don't go into these leveraged buyouts with big debt intending to damage the companies they take over, but because they're more interested in the short term than the long term. They're more interested in a big, quick return for their investors. He says they often cripple these companies for the future by squeezing them too hard to deliver in the present.
Yeah, I mean, the point of private equity is not, you know, to create jobs, right? That's not the idea. It's not to build a company over the long term. Their job is to make really good returns for their investors. And in many cases, that has resulted in buying a company, cutting costs, retooling it, and then selling it at a profit as quickly as they can. And there's that conflict on the campaign trail. You hear, I mean, I think a lot of private equity guys are uncomfortable with Romney talking about private equity being some sort of job creation program, because that's just not what its first job is.
Although, on the other hand, we should address a study that you looked at from Harvard University and the University of Chicago and the University of Maryland and the U.S. Census Bureau, which looked at job loss and found that, well, actually, private equity eliminated more jobs than other companies, but barely.
Right. And again, you have to think about what they're looking at. So if you know, private equity firms are going in, I mean, their whole job in many ways is to go into these industries and these companies that are struggling, right? So in some ways, it's not exactly an apples to apples thing, I think, because the targets for private equity firms are different than, you know, the sort of the sample group of companies that you're comparing them against, right? You're talking about a sort of subgroup of firms, that, of companies around the country and around the world that may be struggling and may be going south anyway.
Right. That's what Bain and other private equity firms will tackle. A couple questions. So we mentioned that Bain Capital and some of the other private equity firms are realizing they might have to react to some of the negative language. I mean, you talked about other private equity investors saying, what is Romney saying that our job is to create jobs? It's not, you know, that kind of thing. And realizing that maybe they have to respond. So the companies formed a trade association, but Bain Capital dropped out. Why?
Yeah, so this is fascinating. You would think at any moment, right, if there were ever a moment when Bain Capital would want to be with their brethren in the private industry, private equity industry, it would be now, right? They're under attack almost daily. You would think they'd want to be standing shoulder to shoulder with their friends, but no, they dropped out a couple of years ago. They felt like this trade association was not that effective for them. They didn't want to share, you know, trade secrets or proprietary information, and so they've dropped out. And you can imagine now that Bain is the target of all these attacks, the other big firms who are part of this big private equity group and who are, you know, spending lots of money to try to improve the industry's image and, you know, film these really slick videos of ways in which private equity works. You know, they're investing a significant amount of time and money in this. There's some, I think, resentment that Bain is trying to kind of go it alone because, you know, Bain is the one attracting so much of the spotlight and they're not really helping push back.
Yeah. Well, Bain has done things on its own, though. You say that they wrote an unusual 3-page letter to investors saying that we're, you know, if you want to hear a defense of our record, we're happy to give it to you. They met in small groups with some of the employees who've been a little demoralized by all of this. But aside from reputation, because as you said, most investors are saying, look, all I care about is the return. So aside from the reputation, what's at stake for Bain and the private equity firms?
This is a matter of great debate in the industry, right? Some people think there's very little really at stake and that this is all politics and it will pass and nobody cares. November will come and go. Everyone will get on with their work. On the other hand, I think there's a reasonable argument to be made that, you know, there is a big debate in this country now about tax rates and tax equity and so forth. So you can imagine a couple years down the road, and maybe Congress does finally take up some big comprehensive tax reform package, that's when we start to get into the thing that would really damage or have a big impact on private equity. That is, maybe we raise the capital gains rate, or we change the way that some of the investment returns from private equity investments are taxed. Right now, they're taxed at a very favorable low rate.
We remember when we heard about Mitt Romney being compensated by Bain Capital in what felt to everyone like wages and salaries, but under this tax structure, it wasn't considered that and was taxed at a lower rate.
Right. Wouldn't we all love to be taxed at, you know, 13 or 14%, right? I mean, it would be fantastic instead of the 30, 35. So, you know, the big risk and one of the reasons that the private equity industry without Bain is investing so much time in trying to buff its image is that they want to make sure when that tax debate happens in the halls of Congress, wherever, that you know, congressional leaders, that their local representatives, all the big policymakers, that they know the value of private equity, right? They know, they've been told that, hey, you know, there's that, you know, shoemaker in your town, in your district, and maybe it only has 60 jobs, but that thing was going out of business until we bought it and turned it around, and now it's a pretty significant small employer. So they want to make sure that those stories are well understood, and they want to be part of that debate. And the argument for doing all this now, right, and not acting like Bain, not sitting out, is that they want to be at the table and they want to have a big voice. And I think that's a significant risk.
fascinating. Scott Hellman, who wrote a cover story for the Boston Globe magazine on Bain and how the company is, as he writes, trying reluctantly to clean up its name. It also is a story about the private equity industry. Scott's also co-author of this year's biography, The Real Romney, which has been reissued with a new afterword. And Scott, look forward to talking to you and your co-author, Michael Cranish, about all of that next week in Tampa.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Robin.
And your thoughts, especially if you're a Bain employee over there in the Hancock Tower here in Boston, go to hereandnow.org or facebook.com/hereandnowradio, where you can also weigh in on our first story, this claim that women can secrete something to prevent pregnancy during rape. Wouldn't someone have made a birth control out of that? But let us hear from you. Latest news is next, here and now.